Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just help me reduce the volume just a little bit here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If you can set this thing a little bit straight. Hallelujah. Amen. Truly, when I see the way God is using my young girl, it's so refreshing and so encouraging. One, it shows the power of prayer. When parents believe in prayer, and it shows the power of destiny. The hand of God has always been upon our life. And I witnessed it in the hospital, the visions and the dreams, and to see the timing of God using her now to manifest this prophetic assignment. I thank God so much for the obedience. Amen. When we are in an environment like this, sometimes we have all ages of people, all kinds of people. But again, sometimes when you're in obedience to the word of the Lord, it's not just only for those here, it's also for those who knows where the things are going, especially in the season that we are living in the media world. Tonight, of course, we heard what the Lord said to us this morning. I don't want to repeat that over and over, but if you can use those as a platform, because of the atmosphere of the nation and where we are, sometimes, like Cheryl was praying, there are some people right now probably going into depression and into oppression, into delusion, into absolute confusion, completely knocked out. I'm not talking about ignorant people. I'm talking about prayer warriors, great ministers, leaders in the body. Because of not understanding the season and what God is doing. Some things are so deep that it's a mystery. And when God is doing it, it's very, very easy. If the disciples, the apostles, can almost backslide when Jesus was on the cross, how much more what is happening? So, one of the grace God has given us is to have understanding of seasons and times. And when things are happening, God begins to bring understanding and bring more clarity to what He's doing. So by God's grace, that's what we're going to be doing as the Lord leads. But tonight, I want to use that to just help us go into some understanding. It's going to be two parts. He says, these nights are usually our inspiration, encouragement night. What happens Sunday morning? Sunday morning is the way I feel. Our evening services, our morning, our Sunday. But again, we'll be able to flow in, you know, as God leads. But that's where I believe God will be awakening gifts and people flowing in that gift. But tonight, I want to use tonight just to I want us to sit together in the heavenly places and see what is going on from that perspective. Two parts. The first part, I want to give scriptural understanding of how heaven and earth operates. And then the other part, I want to, the Lord wants to give, Spirit of the Lord, give understanding to what is happening in America right now. This first part, I was praying about how really what to share with our staff and eventually with our department leaders to prepare us for where we are. And in one of our staff meetings last Tuesday, one of our pastors, Pastor Emmanuel, started giving a devotion. And as soon as he mentioned the word language, just everything that God was putting in my heart, just what I needed to share, just started coming forth. And that became a catalyst to the way God wants me to. You know, not everybody can eat meat. Amen? There are ways you dish out dish and people can eat them. So I'm going to share one part and then we'll see what the Lord will lead to share in the second part. Just because we are his friends. So let me read this scripture for the first part. It's in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence the reality, the realization of things not seen. You see, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, were established by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then he went on from verse 4 all the way to the end, literally explaining all the way from Genesis to the time the scripture was written and what was after. That is, only by faith these people that made a difference in their generation and the plans and purposes of God were not only revealed but ruled in the earth. So verse 6 says, but without faith, whatever this thing faith means, without it is impossible, not some way, somehow, is impossible to manifest God's purpose, to manifest God's kingdom, to establish it, basically to please God. Please God means without it, there is no connection to God. There is no, nothing you do that is, if it's not of faith, it's not of God. No matter how good it is, it's impossible for you to be God. Actually, one of Paul's writings says, anything that is not of faith is sin. It's not talking about adultery or he's just talking about his flesh. So this must be very important for a chapter to be dedicated to it, and not only dedicated to it, he lined it up from Genesis and from creation to the end. That even that's how God operates. That by the word of the Lord, by faith, this is what. So all of us have, through the time we're born again, we've been in this whole trying to understand this faith. Now I want to read one verse and then I'll share this part. Why this first part is important. Verse 7. It says, by this faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now listen to the last part. By the which he condemned the world. Do you understand what he's saying? And became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is only by faith. That's what the scriptures say. So, what does this mean? What is this faith? Why would John say it is a faith that overcomes the world? That dominions have dominion over the world. What is this faith? What does it mean? Just like you, I've been in this school for a long time. I know we can graduate from the school of faith, but it's a growing process. Galatians chapter 4, if you all know that, you can read it. It says this. It says, let me just read it. This is so important for what we are about to hear tonight. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a slave, though he be lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, a transition takes place here. Thou art no more. Exactly the word the angel spoke to Jacob. Thou art no more Jacob, but Israel. Here he said, thou art no more a slave, but a son. A shift. And now that you become a son, your language changes. Then you are now an heir of God through Christ. So, this first part, I want to talk about the language of heaven, faith. The language of heaven, faith. Language is the method of universal human communication. Language is the method, the principle, the very method universally, country, nationally, community-wise, established as a means of communication. And communication is everything in life. So that is human beings. That says human is a method established humanly. The word language in Webster Dictionary. Humanly for communication. And communication is the language of man. And if you don't speak any language, you cannot really get anything done. It's impossible to get things done. So that even today, deaf people have a pattern of communicating trained. Because communication is vital to life, the language of man. So, human beings on this earth, from the fall of man, from what we understand as man, has a language. If you go to Africa, there are so many languages they use in communicating. Here is English, all they have Chinese language, they have all the languages all the way from the Tower of Babel. But somehow we communicate. And through communication, we establish governments, we establish authority, we establish the mountains of influence. Everything in life is established through communication. So that's human. So if I say to them, let's do this, let's do that, let's train this, let's everything, he hears me and I hear him and we communicate our being. Now, language begins from a childhood. When a child is in the womb, is in a different world. And this child, like Galatians is saying, gets born into a priestly family or a kingly family, gets born into that family. When that child gets born, he says, now that he's a child, he is no different in his mind, in his approach to things, from slaves, let's say a royal family. It's no different from an ordinary citizen or from a slave. That's what the Bible says. It says, though the blood, the DNA, everything in that child is a ruler. But that child has not learned through communication who he really is. And when, so it says now the child has to go to what? School. What is a school? The school is a place through communication, through the language of man, you are trained into who your DNA represents. Who you really are, that you are a son of a ruler. And this is who the ruler is, this is the capacity, this is what the ruler, and you are an heir. And it says, at the end of the training, that child, because of the language now of that has been taught who he is and what he has inherited, he says something shifts when he graduates. He now knows, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm a ruler. He says, now that he knows that he's an heir after training, it's a shift. He says, now he's a son. Son of who? Son of the king. And this is what I've been trained and taught. Kings think like. Kings speak. Kings do. Their language is different from the language of the slave. Another way to look at it, if you grow up, let's say Yoruba or Igbo or Hausa or whichever, if the child is growing up and he's hearing this language, hearing this language, hearing this language, that is the language he's going to speak. And that's the language you will understand. And that's the language you communicate to him who he is. So, the same thing with faith. There is only one language that heaven speaks. And that language is declared here that that's the language God spoke when he created everything. 1 John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was nothing made that was made without the Word. Hebrews 11 says, by the Word, God brought everything by his Word into existence, by faith. We can speak in tongues. Tongues means different kinds of languages. There's a language the Holy Spirit speaks that needs interpretation. There's a language angel speaks. 1 Corinthians says, tongues of men and angels. It's a language we speak. She can be praying in Yoruba, that's a language. She can be praying in English. She can be praying in Igbo, Hausa. These are languages. But if whatever you are praying in these tongues does not carry faith, there's no communication with God. Angels don't understand anything outside of faith. It was surprising to hear this as the Lord was unfolding this. So, why did Hebrews 11 say so much about using so many examples of faith that we have read and read and read? Because on this side is man. And we live in this world. We're raised as man. On this side, we got born again. Amen? So we are spirit men. This side is heaven. So this is what is happening. In the earthly realm, everything that we do in life through communication for us to live and to believe is based on what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, causes us to understand and believe. And our whole life is based on what we see, what we hear, what we do, and everything we're doing here, we believe it. If I say, Cheryl, I'm going to give you a $200 check, she's going to believe me because I have $200. I only say that to Cheryl because I have $200 in my account. I'm going to write her a check because I have it. If I say to Manuel, my car is outside, I'm going to give it to you, he will believe it because I have a car outside. Why? He sees it, I see it. We live by what we see, what we know, what we hear. And that's how we communicate, and people will be a response. And that's the way we're raised. Now, in this part, the moment we're born again, we are just children born again. We have to be taught how this area operates. The training Paul is talking about is when we are born again, we're children, we're here. We are still trying to operate here the way we are operating as human beings here. So the purpose of the training of faith is a school, a transitional school. Moses went to it. David went to it. Abraham went to it. All the great men, all these people they mentioned, they went through it. And what is he talking about? What he's talking about is this. Jesus said, he says, this is a natural, everything about natural. See, the moment we are born again, it's like a child born into the world. We are born into the spiritual realm. We are now spirit. We are now sons of God. We already been born physical into this world. Now we are born again. We're born into the kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom, our Father is God. Our Lord is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the bread, the executor, the life of this kingdom. This kingdom is invisible. This kingdom is visible to man. As we receive training here and begin to receive training from the Spirit, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is training our spirit men. This kingdom gradually starts becoming visible to our spirit men. What we call visions and dreams is because this man cannot be in the Spirit. So visions and dreams and revelations is God opening the eyes of this man to understand the kingdom is operating. It's invisible. So, this kingdom is invisible, but you can see it when you get born again. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, except you're born again, you cannot see it. The moment you're born again, you can see it, you can hear it. It's a real kingdom. But when we are children, like Paul is saying, You can't see it because you have not completely heard the language of this kingdom, or your born is here. So the training of faith is the gradual process of what we've read about different people that have been raised, you know, Moses, or the different process of training that eventually causes this kingdom to become visible to you, even though you live in the flesh. When the training has come to maturity, though you are human, but inside of you, this kingdom has become more real to you than that. And so what happens now, when you mature here in the spirit, God now begins to show you the plans of God, talk to you about it. It's no more letter. It's now revealing to you the timing, the dispensation, whatever the kingdom of God has planned for your generation, God begins to show it to you. Here, it is not dream. It's not imagination. You are now communicating with the activities of heaven. You are now seated, not physically, you are now seated with God, your Father, the Spirit of God, the Lord is speaking to you, and the angels. You are now hearing your, because now your ears have been exercised, your eyes, your visions are no more blurry. God's word is now becoming clear because you're now putting on the maturity of a physical kingdom such. When you now come, you're human here, but inside of you now come to maturity here, like Moses did after 40 years. 40 years of dying to the flesh. Like Joseph did after he saw the vision 13 years. The next 17 years, the next 13 years he was going through his school. After those people have graduated, God now start telling them, this is what the kingdom of God is planning to do in the earth. Son, Jesus says, I can't do anything unless what I see my Father. He's not talking about flesh. He experiences revelation, vision, the voice of God, and heaven is saying, this is what we're doing. Let me ask you all a question. How many of you have children here physically? You give birth to them and you live in the same house and they start growing, like the little one in the house now. You start growing. The child takes a while, but as they start growing, are you telling me that your father at some point can start talking to you with understanding and start sharing things with you? That's what we're doing it. My brothers, when you mature, that's exactly what happens. So when it happened here with Moses, he was still human, but he has come to the place where he's been trained and his senses and the spirit can handle. It is God now appeared, angels come and start saying, now, Moses, your training is over. This is our plan, what we are going to do in the world, in Egypt. So Moses, you are just going to represent us physically, but just take the instructions as we share them with you. And that's the way they will happen in the earth. So when Moses hears, the Bible says, by faith. What is faith? Let me use Noah for example. Noah matured and God came to him in this place. And he says, Noah, this is what heaven is planning to do. This is the plan of heaven. These people here in the world have corrupted themselves. So what we're going to do is, this is what it is somewhere. We want you to build an ark for us here, and we are going to restart the world. And we're going to use you and your children. We're going to use your generation. But build an ark. But while you are building this ark, let them know what the plan of heaven is. So Noah received it in the spirit. So Noah comes here in the natural and started building an ark. And the people in the natural, who sees in the natural, who understands in the natural, who doesn't, I begin to say, Noah, you're crazy, you lost your mind, you're this. Before, Paul says, when I was a man, I think like a man. For the past few years, I know how that feels with it. When you receive things here, you're not too sure, you're still growing. If people start talking here, there's a way you feel. But when you mature, when it's no more glimpses, you know you are coming. You know who you're dealing with. You know where you have been and where you come. When they're talking to Noah here, I knew Noah wasn't offended. Noah was just grieved that that generation was lost. But Noah, the reason Noah was building an ark when there is no rain, preparing, was by, what the Bible means by faith is simply this. Noah was receiving now his reality, which is now heaven. It's not a figment of imagination. Noah has come to a place where the kingdom of God is a reality to him. But because he's still in flesh and blood, he heard what the kingdom wants to manifest in the earth, and is doing it with full confidence, knowing where, who he represents. But the people that are not of the kingdom, they think Noah lost his mind. They think Noah is crazy. So why is it by faith? Because Noah is doing what he sees in the spirit, what he hears in the spirit, what he believes in the spirit. He's doing it, but in the natural, the people are doing what they see, what they hear, and what they believe. So that's why they call it the language of the spirit is faith. Why? If these people in the earth speak Yoruba and the people here speak Hausa, if Noah is speaking Hausa by building that thing, the people are hearing, they're not hearing. Because to them, what is Noah? We don't know what this Hausa is. And Noah is saying, and because they only understand Yoruba. So faith is a language of the spirit. That's why this morning when the prophecy was coming, I said, okay, let me not go too far. Is the language of the spiritual world. And the natural man cannot understand it. 1 Corinthians says, because it is from the spirit. And the natural man cannot receive it. Amen? Amen. So, I give you a good example before we go deeper. The next phase will you understand well. Here is Jesus. I can't do anything unless what I see my Father do. When he says it, I used to think it's all kinds of things, but now it's making sense. When he says, I cannot do anything unless I see my Father, my brothers and sisters, his Father is his Father. My brothers and sisters, when God says you cry Abba Father, there's a place you know. Your Father is with you. I'm not talking about what you read in scripture. You live with him. Because you are his son. So, Jesus says, he comes here. He's in the flesh. The Father has already shown him what will happen. So, he came to the disciples. He says, he comes to them because they are here in the flesh. He says, you know what? They're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to destroy me. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. Everything he received it right here. What did he receive? That was the plan of heaven. That was the wisdom of God. Then he brings it to them here. And this was what God planned. By faith. So faith is the communication, the means of communication that this gospel can only be communicated with. So without faith, the natural man cannot understand what you're saying and what you're talking about. So before I conclude and summarize that aspect, there is a natural man that lives in a natural world. And they have their activities and their language. There is a spiritual world that is natural to spiritual people. So, this word faith is simply the only way spiritual people operate in the natural world. And when God is telling them, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this and this and this, is because that's what heaven has planned. Heaven rules over the earth. Whatever decision they make is because they are the ones who made the earth and they have decided where the earth is going. Satan also has a plan for the earth. Heaven allowed it. But the reason heaven allowed it is so that Satan can be used as an instrument to fulfill the plan of God in the earth. Satan can never hinder God. He fulfills the will of God. But he fulfills it in a mystery, like the cross. Now, when we are growing faith, we are being taught faith. We hear, we see visions. Sometimes we're not clear when God is teaching us, like, Jeremiah and all these different people. There's a time the word you're receiving, the things you're seeing, they come like revelation and prophecy. You speak it, you get excited, you say it. The time for it to be harvested in the earth has not come. And during those times, you come over here and you say, God, you told me this will happen. You just get frustrated and the people in the earth are waiting and you just get so frustrated. Those are times God is training you. But there comes a time God says, you come here, God says, now, the things I say are no longer be prolonged. You know that God has brought you to the point where he is now showing you things. Like Jesus says, what I see him do is what I see, what I hear him. And what Jesus said is true. God will bring you to the point now, he begins to gradually show you things that he's going to be doing here. And he will show you little by little, and you see them coming little by little to give you confidence in your growth. And then later it continues. So prophecy and the prophetic office is not people speaking words. This a revelation, and they are receiving the mandate and the plan of God for the earth that can never return void. That word return void means is what heaven is already determined will be. And when the time comes, it will fulfill its course. Having said that, what is going on right now? What is happening? And what is God doing? Let me do it this way for time, because I know people are watching. Last year, 2019. Most of us know some of these things, but we are going into what is happening now. 2019, something, the Lord spoke to us. You know, God will speak sometimes, you don't know the fullness of it, that we're entering into the year of the vengeance of the Lord, the favor of the Lord and the vengeance of the Lord. Basically, it was clear, it was spoken here many times, different people, we've entered into the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, meaning a new era. And my brothers and sisters, from the little brief thing on faith, when this kingdom says, this aspect of prophecy, or this aspect of what God, like Peter said, this is what Joel said, when the things God has written comes to the time of their fulfillment, like the days of Moses, and God reveals it here to manifest here. That is every dispensation That is when you stop everything you're doing and pay attention to him. Because everything in the earth is about to change because of the momentum of what heaven is about to do. And whenever heaven starts something, they said, we are now coming in Kairos moment, we're not going to interrupt the world and bring in God's plan for that time. It's not something that just happens and you just go back again. It's a momentum. So if you don't understand it, it will happen, you go back, it happen. But if you understand it, you immediately connect with God at that moment and God carries you through the process. So last year, when the Lord says, this is the season, the new era coming, the reality and where heaven was going was not very clear, even though the book of Esther, God used that to establish these 9 things, these 8 things we're talking about. But certain things just happening. So now, now we look back and see the COVID, and God says, look back 1 year and see what COVID did. But you're going to look forward 1 year and you see what I'm about to do. So when we hear things like that, as humans, what happens is when the effect and the impact of something finishes, we go back to sleep because we're human. But if we really are receiving from here, we're going to be like Moses or like Joseph. We follow every step based on what God, because Jesus says, I only see what I do. So if you know God has started something, the next thing you wait and say, okay, God, what's the next step? God, what's the next? You keep waiting and God will take you through. But human beings will come and say, oh, this has not happened. Okay, let's go back again to normal. But in the spirit, everything comes one after the other during Kairos moment. So when COVID started, it was very obvious something has started. But then we come to this year and the Lord says, it's the same word. Go back to it. But the momentum is going to increase. Momentum increasing means, how are you going to do? Where are you taking us? How is that going to manifest? And we shared all that. Now, when COVID was happening, we talked about the feast in this house. And many people had an understanding too, not only here, that there was a momentum being built from Passover to Pentecost. And then we'll go to the feast. We talked about lining up with the feast. So the first one was COVID, and everybody was like, all over the nation, prophetically, yes, something is started. So everybody was fasting, praying, seeking God for what is going to manifest in Pentecost. Even all of us, that this Pentecost is going to be revived, everything. And when Pentecost came, it did not come the way all of us expected. But right before Pentecost, God showed us mercy. Because I would have been also like most of the other leaders, were expecting this God to break forth and something to happen. But the Lord, that was when the protest started. And that became a momentum. But before Pentecost, the Lord spoke to me, says, I will speak to you on Pentecost Day. And the revelation that came with that word has 2 parts to it. I'll speak to you on Pentecost Day. And I kept it because some things you keep in your heart to make sure after the experience is really the Lord. So that if you don't receive anything, you know you're growing without putting yourself under any kind of pressure. So, the Lord said, I'll speak to you on Pentecost Day. On Pentecost, the night before Pentecost, I had a visitation and I shared it. It has to do with the days of Noah. That was a word that is separate. That's not what I'm bringing tonight. But the actual, that was Saturday. But Pentecost Day, because of that visitation, I came and sat in that office. I was praying, waiting with that expectation, like God told Samuel, too short to go wait. I was praying and waiting and waiting. And almost when it was morning, I just fell asleep. And when I fell asleep, the visitation came. And that was Sunday morning. And when I came, I knew that was the only message I had to speak. It's recorded on Facebook. It's right there. And the Lord showed Trump. And I saw him. I was in this hotel. Whatever the place was, I was back in the front desk. I saw him. Now, understand, when I share this, you can miss it by thinking it's just a dream or a word. Because now, as things unfold, what God came to visit, when they manifest, now you understand the weight of it. That's the weight of it hit me like a bomb after what just happened yesterday. It truly came, revealed what is about, what heaven knows is about to happen nationally here in the earth. Everybody, see, the fearful thing about us humans is the fear of man. See, God might be showing you something, but the fear of man and what you see might be so heavy that you will say, that's not going to happen. That cannot happen. So even God might be showing you, but you won't even think that direction. And God is trying to tell you, that's what I'm showing you. So that's the growing process, the learning process in hearing God. So the Lord showed, and many voices were saying different things. So when God revealed that, you know, I just want to say that in case somebody never heard it before, they're watching. I saw Trump coming from this side of the hotel. There are two doors. And as he was coming, I looked at him. And he was so beaten down, looking so beaten down. And I was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I looked, all the people around were still going about their business. So it wasn't like he was noticed. And there were people coming from here. So as soon as he was coming, beaten down like that, before he came close, there's this couch here. It's a couch. It's not like a love seat. It's a couch. By the time he got, before he got so close, he just collapsed, just fell on that, just collapsed there. I said, oh my God. And I quickly, it's like one guy just came by that's the only person, brought this stroller. Like, you know, those things you put, you can put a refrigerator on it. It's not the things you put hangers and your luggage in the hotel. It's those things you can put refrigerator, it's a troller. He brought it, we just carried him, put him on that troller and rolled him towards the elevator. And people were there, but they were not seeing us. We took him by the elevator. The thing was to take him to his room and refresh him. And I woke up. It was as clear as day and light. And I said, the Lord just confirmed his visitation. And then I said, okay, God, what does this mean? It was still Sunday morning. I went to bed, still waking up. What does this mean? I didn't know what it meant. The literal thing I could think of what it meant was what I said on Sunday. Let's pray for President Trump. And then I started praying into it. The metaphor or the prophetic thing I would see is, based on what God has been revealing in the past about the shaking of the nation and stuff, I see it as a confirmation. I had no doubt, because I know heaven has spoken, that this is a confirmation of where America is going to go eventually. The shaking in it, that Trump symbolizes the nation. And that's the way we took it and we started praying. And that's what I shared eventually with different prayer groups. Not knowing. You know, sometimes you receive something, people will say, let's pray, it will never happen, it will never happen, let's pray. We prayed. People prayed. There are some things God has determined it to be. So we prayed, we did everything. Today, I can tell you, if nobody else believes this, this is the loudest ever I've experienced prophecy fulfilled. Yesterday, the election took place, the third election took place, and we all saw what happened. And right here in the earthly realm. What was revealed by the kingdom of God here, literally manifested. He was beaten. And actually, when I watched television, it looked like I was seeing what I saw there. I've never seen him feel so sad. He came out of his mouth, he said, "I am so sad." He doesn't pretend. He showed it in his face. That's just outside of what he even feels personally. But he was beaten physically through the election and collapsed. He's basically lost. That's a collapse. His government just crumbled. Literally, what you had here. Pentecost was just 7 months ago. Heaven revealed this on Pentecost. Less than 7 months it happened. We're not talking about you're going to get a car, you're going to get married, this is a national event revealed to us. Happened here. Less than 7 months. Then another visitation came. And this particular visitation, different ones have spoken, different ones have seen visions, seen revelations, we've known it. And that's about the earthquake. See, here, heaven already knows what they plan to do here. And God is, in his mercy, preparing us like the days of Noah. This is what's going to happen. Don't wait until you see it to believe. He says the things that manifest here, they did not manifest, Hebrews says, they did not manifest here, for it's not something we have to see here because they were already here. That's for human beings. You obey things in this realm when you see it. But you obey things in this realm when you see it there. So God is saying, this is what we're going to do here. It's going to be a shaking. It's going to be great. It's going to be this. By faith, Noah did not wait until the rain. All the people in this Bible, they believed this to be reality. And they brought that reality to the physical realm and customed their life to that reality. That's what faith is.
Yes.
Faith is not, I hear it and I'm still living in this reality. That's unbelief. It's when you take that reality and leave it here. The people here does not understand that language. And that's why many people don't walk by faith. Because that reality is not a reality. They talk it, we say it, but it's not a reality to us. So, when God says something is going to happen here, God says it because he's bringing a warning. He's causing the people to be ready. He's causing them, just like the Trump thing. When it happened, now I understand. People are trying to collapse. Who knows what would have happened to me if I did not hear that. But because God revealed that and it happened, I understand where it's going. Some people are devastated right now. Completely. I don't expect anybody that saw that thing to feel that way. Especially after God spoke to us. But there are more deep wisdom. Let's go deeper. Now, then the Lord spoke about the earthquake. So let me leave that part. That will be for another day. Let me speak about the mystery of what is happening. You remember, I've laid enough foundation. Here's what is going on. 2019, the Lord said a new era has come. The year of vengeance, the year of favor, meaning God's era, God's plan is coming into the earth. God is about to move and God is about to manifest his plan here. Every time God announces it in the heavens, Satan also catches a wind of it. He knows the Bible. And he knows it very well. When he catches it, Satan comes here and plans with the people here to stop what God is about to do. The people, the humanity here don't know that, but there are also people that live in this part of the world that are not humans. They are principalities. Just like the sons of God. They are the ones ruling the earth. The sons of God rule, the sons of Satan's rule. They understand the spiritual. So Satan comes to them and says, guys, heaven is about to invade us. They're about to come and take over. This is what God is planning. Let us come against it. So they plan and they try to do just like they try to kill Jesus, try to kill Moses, all these different things. But the best one is the cross. So let me share with you what is going on. So when God is saying the time for him to begin to do something in that part in the world is there. Heaven has had a meeting. The season has come prophetically. These things are to be fulfilled over there. You know what happened? These Satan's people here already has a plan for the world. They've been planning it for a long time. God already knows he will allow it be fulfilled at the right time. It's called the one world government and stuff. They've been planning for a long time. So, right here is the rest of the world. Right here is America. Okay, let's see this. Their plan was to launch this new world order or this one world government out of America. But unfortunately, that's not God's plan. God's plan is America will launch the move of God. So Satan planted, because God wants to launch the move of God from here, just like Jerusalem. Satan says, from here, I will launch my plan also. So Satan planted his plan here. He will launch that from here. So there's been that battle. So now, the timing for God to launch his plan out of America is now come. Satan now says, okay, I'm going to also launch my plan from here. So what did he plan? He planned the COVID. The COVID was a demonic assignment. I saw this happen. So it was a demonic assignment to shatter the world. And also, the plan, see, people look, we won't go into that, people look in the natural, they are depths of Satan. The plan is to fulfill the very agenda of Satan that has been planted here for a long time. I've been telling you all about it since I watched my book. So, what happened was, God has used Nebuchadnezzar in the past. God has used people like Cyrus. God has used Pharaoh in the days of Joseph. These are not Christians. So, God can use anybody. God used a donkey to try to stop a prophet. So, what happened was, it was not about Trump or anybody, but God allowed him to be in office here to be a restraint to some things. And to be a restraint without him knowing what he's doing, God used him as a restrainer to a lot of things. But what that restrainer was it was a restrainer to the agenda of Satan to begin to manifest their plan from America to the rest of the world. So the little part God used him, it has nothing to do with him. It just happened to be that God allowed him to be in office when the fullness of time was encroaching on America's destiny. So God has to use him to be a restrainer. So as a restrainer, the world powers we're fighting that restraining process to give God's timing to kick in. So the process of him being a restrainer and in the process of God's time manifesting, these people, of course, the plan of Satan in the world felt it was about to fall apart. So they came up with COVID as a plan to overthrow the government. COVID was intentional to shift the balance of power in America. First, it was to shatter the economy. If it fails, then they would use it as a platform to change government. This change of government was planned long time ago. It was plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. If this does not work, we'll do this. If this does not work, we'll do this. The last plan was to change the government with COVID. The other plans was actually to probably use COVID. If they lost the plan to change government, there is going to be an injection of another level of COVID that will be more dangerous than the past one. Through prayer, through intercession, God neutralized the power of COVID virus. The plan was, if they missed, if anything interrupted, because this will go with plan B, plan B. If they missed the plan or the things they planned to do did not work and Trump won, you would have seen a virus like you've never seen to a level you've never seen. But now that Trump has won, their mind will be okay. Let us now use the original plan, the platform of America, to quickly facilitate the direction of the one world government. Because now we have our seat back, we have our place, now we're going to move quickly and we're going to enforce the original plan, a plan to rule the world. That will be the plan. But now listen to the mystery of God. First of all, let me say this right here. You see, for believers that don't understand, this is too deep. It's not about Democrat, it's not about Republican. Remove all those out of the picture. We're dealing with spiritual world right now. So if you're a Democrat, you listen to this. If you're a Republican, you listen to this. This is not the platform for that. What I'm talking about is kingdom purpose and kingdom agenda. This is God and the mystery of iniquity. Understand, we in Revelation chapter 2:24, it says during the reign of Jezebel in the church, it says, for those who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will spare you. What I'm speaking to you, I'm just trying to be still very mild. It's deep. But you can't chew the depths. So what you're hearing now is just giving you just a plain understanding of what is happening in the spirit as it's been played out. And I'll soon explain with the scripture. So, what is happening is, COVID was used as a weapon. There's so much to unfold, but God was used as a weapon. The target of the weapon was to shatter the economy of America. Not only to shatter the economy, it was to really flatten the nation and to abort the restraining power. If it didn't work, then they will use the COVID as a weapon to change government. If it did not work, then they will come up with the next level of COVID infestation. That's why they were preparing everybody. The worst is yet to come. And the worst. So now, to plan for the one world government, they're going to use the COVID now to enforce vaccination, enforce the law, enforce the law. They're going to use the power of American government to now drive through the agenda through government levels. That is Satan's thinking. That is some agenda. This is, of course, not every Christian goes this deep, but I just want you to know that's the depths of some of these things. Politics is at this level. What I'm talking about is at the echelons of spiritual activities. So now, why is the wisdom of God always the cross? This is where I want to be prophetic. You see, let me give you an example, what the picture to paint. Here, You all remember what happened in Egypt as Moses got there. It was a resistance. So the enemy always tried to resist. But the purpose of resistance, God said in Romans chapter 9, the reason I raised up Satan was to glorify my name, to reveal my power. Okay. So in the days of Jesus, this was when this mystery was revealed. Heaven made a plan. And the moment the plan was verbalized, Satan knew of it. They knew this was their time. The Son has now come. God has sent prophets. Sent prophets, they killed them. Sent prophets, they killed them. Sent for, say, I will send my Son now. So he sent his Son. What did they do? Satan said, if we kill him, now we are free to rule. They will now own the world. We now dominate. Because this is it. So, what did God do? God told Jesus here, heaven has agreed, Jesus agreed to be the sacrificial lamb. Give your flesh. So he came, and what did they do here? There was a vote taken in Israel before Pilate. And that voice, that voice was exactly a cry. And it was the same way the angels said, Jesus, the Lord and the angels told Abraham, you're crying, we hear your cry, we hear your prayer, we hear your cry, we hear your prayer, but let us go see how Sodom is crying. And let's see which one is louder. Unfortunately, when they got there, the cry of Sodom was louder than Abraham, and something happened. So, in Israel, at the junction of prophetic interlude, because it was always a prophetic time, the nation of Israel, the people who are in covenant with God, out of ignorance, out of knowledge, but they were incited. The Bible says it was the chief priest and the high priest manipulated the people. And with one voice, they said, crucify. To the point that justice was denied. Because the judge, Pilate, knew the truth. He knew everything that Jesus was innocent. He said it. The wife had a dream, but the voice of Israel was louder than the voice, than the law, than everything else. Pilate washed his hands and said, I will give him to you. But it was God's plan. So what happened? Exactly like God planned it. They carried him to the cross, and right there, he was crucified. Jesus what? Died. Guess what? If you watch that story, there was a party thrown in hell. Amen? There was a party thrown. Party, celebration. Isn't it? Psalm 44 says, then a voice came. Open the gates. For the King of Glory to come.
Hallelujah.
There was these 3 days of mystery. America is not 3 days. We are in the dispensation of the mystery of the 3 days, like it was in those days. In that 3 days, something is happening in the spirit. I have been talking about it suddenly. We've been talking about things that have already been made decision in the spirit. The reason I'm saying let's stay in the presence of God is because God wants us to be in the conference of heaven. Because decisions have been made. So suddenly they have been put in. This election is one of those suddenly again. It was a decision that was already made. And it was a bait. So now, Just like Jesus crucified, is done. What happened to the disciples? They prayed with him all night at the Gethsemane. Jesus prayed. Everybody prayed. But it has to go that way. What did the disciples do? They were confused. They were miserable. They were completely knocked out. Some of them backslid. But they forgot that Jesus says, after 3 days. We have been hearing a lot. Remember this story? We carried him to the elevator. Anyway, so what has happened, what I'm sharing with you now, is a mystery. This is the spirit of understanding. The spirit of the Lord is revealing. So, what has happened is, this thing I've been talking about for a long time, this government, these tears, a lot of innocent, faithful Christian believers, they don't know this. Even a lot of people don't really know the mystery of the platform of Americas, this wheat and tares. It's too deep. Even ministers I work with, I don't talk about it. Leaders, it's too deep. So a lot of people don't know. So to them, they see like Republican, Democrat. They see like voting for Biden and voting for Trump. It has nothing to do with that. We are experiencing the mystery of the timing of righteousness and iniquity being harvested in this man. So what is happening is, what you see happening is, the mystery of God is now taking place. I will not say some things here, but what will happen after this? Going forward is now. Satan brought COVID, God allowed it. He brought this strategy, God allowed it, like the cross. Now, I want you to watch this 1 year going forward. You've seen this, but a lot of people don't understand. What you just saw with American election, for those of you watching, wherever this goes, what you saw is the beginning of the greatest shaking the world has ever seen about to take place. What you saw is not an election. It's the manifestation of the activities of the end time and heaven.
Hallelujah.
It's the beginning of the shift in the spirit that is unfolding in the physical. Is the wisdom of God at play before we now see the vengeance of the Lord the way we've never seen it before? So, this shift of government is another sign. Why do I know it's another sign? God will not reveal it on Pentecost Sunday. That has to do with the foundation of the church. Trying to tell his church what is about to do in the earth. And revealed exactly what just happened to Trump on Pentecost Sunday. Why? Because of what I'm sharing with you now. So this is not an election. This is a movement of the Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord, favor, and the Spirit of vengeance are at play. So very soon, we are now again in the suddenly. I don't know what will be next, but one thing I know without a doubt is the earthquake part will come. I don't know what happened tomorrow, but I know at some point we are, again, let me use the word, 1 year from now, you will never recognize America or the world. This, what you saw with American election is about, what God is about to do, it's about to shake the whole United States, shake the whole world. What you see is a sign, a clear sign. And that's why, as believers, is too deep for us. That's why God is bringing the spirit of revelation and understanding to you. So that's why it says, stay in the ark, stay in prayer. So that, again, we've been saying stay in prayer, stay in, and now this happened and some people are melting away. And you keep telling them, stay in prayer, stay in prayer. Oh, stay in prayer. And now this happened, they are melting away. Fainting. If you've been praying, stay in prayer. If you prayed, believe that God answered him. And if God answered, God doesn't answer in our wisdom. God answered the prayers of Jesus at Gethsemane. He said, let your will be done. He answered it. But not the way we plan. The disciples didn't understand it. But the plan of God unfolded. And the church was born. My brothers and sisters, God is about to deal with satanic powers.
Yes, sir.
And in his wisdom, he knows how to set them up. Let God have his way. Listen carefully to true prophets and see what God is doing. So my brothers and sisters, we are in the year of the suddenly. This election, again, I want all of you in this house, you are seeing the greatest sign of the beginning of another shaking. For those, for example, those who are into politics, this is Democrat, this is what? Republican. Those who are Republican in terms of party and party, they are shaking to core right now. That's the shaking. Shaking to the roots. And like God revealed before time, you could imagine how the president feels right now. That is a shaking. And to those that are Democrats, to them it's a victory and a celebration. But it has nothing to do with Democrats. That's the point I'm trying to portray. This is no more about man. It's God's time. And you have to understand where the wind is going. The wisdom of man will fail you if you lean on it at this point. So, I just wanted to bring just a little bit of this understanding to you all. So you understand what is happening. God is in control. And we're going somewhere. But suddenly has come. Anything can happen tomorrow. Anything can happen next week, next month. But I'm telling you, please, I beg all of you, don't wait again until something happens. Establish yourself in the ark. So you understand as it comes. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Father, that you're calling us out of human thinking. Father, we are still believing we're Republicans and Democrats, and you're calling us to be citizens of heaven. Father, call us out. May we be this called out ones. Deliver us from so tied with this world, so that we can see clearly what you're doing. We don't want to pray like Republican and pray like Democrats. We want to pray like the kingdom, children of the kingdom, so that we can cause your will to be done in the earth as it is in heaven, regardless of how we feel. We want to please you, because we know you are wise God and you know what you're doing. Everything you do is for redemption of man. And you are the only one that can do it. Father, help us to receive by the Spirit of truth, the things of the Spirit. And by faith, may we now understand how to work it out. Keep us in your presence. Let this understanding go to as many that are right now lamenting and seeking for understanding. Give strength, give hope. Father, reveal Jesus to both Democrats and Republicans in this season. Reveal your kingdom. It's not the time to stand on the foundations of man. It is time to stand on the only foundation that cannot be shaken. Because everything is going to be shaken. You said you shake kingdoms, you shake nations, you shake everything that can be shaken. Only your kingdom will stand. Help us to build our soul and heart on your kingdom. May your name be glorified. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you
for helping us tonight. Thank you for revealing this truth. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Anybody has a question?